You're listening to AM 970, The Answer. And now, Reaching Out with Gregory Floyd, the president of Teamsters Local 237.
Welcome to another edition of Reaching Out. I'm Gregory Floyd, president of Local 237 Teamsters. With me, I have two very special guests. First guest is Bishop Taylor. Bishop Taylor is the senior pastor of the Center of Hope International, a non-denominational church adjacent to the Queensbridge Houses, and he's also the co-founder and chief executive officer of Urban Upbound, formerly East River Development Alliance, a New York City-based nonprofit, connects 30,000 public housing residents with jobs, financial counseling, entrepreneurship opportunities, safe and affordable banking, and free tax preparation. Bishop?
Yes, sir.
Welcome to the show.
Thank you, Dr. Greg Floyd.
And our second guest sitting with me is Christopher Bain, and that's Christopher with a K. And his nickname is K. Bain.
Yes, sir.
And he is the founder and director of 696 Bill Queensbridge, which over the past 3 years effectively cure violence and cites unprecedented results in violence interruption activities and mediation endeavors. Christopher, welcome to Reach Out.
Thank you, sir. You can call me Kay.
Kay.
We family.
Kay, welcome to Reaching Out.
Yes, sir.
And the reason we have you two gentlemen here is because I met you in Queensbridge when New York One had the town hall meeting. And I thought it would be a good idea to have you on because you're both doing work in the same community, the same Queensbridge Houses. So we just wanted people to know what you're doing in the community.
Yes.
So, Bishop, we will start with you.
Well, thank you.
Tell us about your organization.
Well, thank you, Greg. Well, I'm grateful for the opportunity to have shared this platform with you for over a decade now. And the team since 237 has been a movement and a viable force for workers here in New York City. Of course, Urban Upbound was founded in 2004 to break cycles of poverty in public housing neighborhoods. Part of the impetus for that is growing up in Queensbridge Houses myself, my father opening his church across the street from Queensbridge Houses in 1961 and trying to figure out a mechanism of movement that can go beyond the indigenous work of our forefathers and mechanize something that will methodically begin to tackle the mammoth problems that exist economically, not only socially, but economically in public housing neighborhoods. And so here we are now 14 years later, 120 plus full-time employees operating in five campuses throughout New York City, Morris City and Houses in the Bronx, Far Rockaway, 1907 Mott Avenue, Jefferson Houses in Harlem, 111th and 1st Avenue, and then our flagship in Long Island City in Queensbridge, of course, Astoria, 425 Astoria Boulevard. And during the tax season, from January to April, we operate 31 satellite sites in all five boroughs of New York City, so that folks can come in and get their taxes done. But it's really a covert way for us to really offer our comprehensive suite of services that we know that folks in public housing and in the city need. And so we've enjoyed some significant success because of our partnerships with people like yourself, the Teamsters, 696 with Kay Bain, Jacob Reese, and other nonprofit organizations in our Queensbridge office. Of course, we're operating, you know, throughout the city, but in our Queensbridge office, you know, the partnerships and the alignments that have been created are very valuable. And I'll say this and I'll stop. One of the objectives of Urban Upbound in 2004 was to organize all the social networks that exist in public housing neighborhoods, your resident leaders, your tenant leaders, your religious leaders, your navigators on the ground, your nonprofit leaders, and figure out how we can change neighborhoods, not from the outside in, but from the inside out.
Thank you, Bishop. Kay Bain.
Yes, sir.
Tell us about your organization.
So 696 Bill Queensbridge is one of now 22 cure violence sites located inside of New York City. This movement was started some time ago on a state level, but as it came to New York City, it was around 2009 or 10 under then Speaker Quinn at the New York City Council, where there was a council member named Jumani D. Williams who asked and stated at a meeting of all council members, he said, if the violence that we see happening in communities of more color was to take place outside, there would be a task force, there would be a crisis, there would be a response. And when he gave his passionate speech, I remember at the end of that, the speaker then allocated $4.8 million for New York City to pilot something. And the research, the best practices showed that ceasefire, which had then transformed to cure violence, was what we were going to try in New York City. So those five locations at $4.8 million since about 2010 or so has now increased to, I want to say, approaching $40 million in city council funding and mayoral funding combined. So 696 Bill Queensbridge is a part of that, the crisis management system of New York. We are, similar to what Bishop described, an entity interested in community-led solutions. We understand, as Bishop so eloquently stated, that we can no longer take acute solutions to complex problems, that we have to look at the root causes of what's going on in our communities. And we are the ones best equipped most times to be a part of that solution process.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Both for introducing yourselves and telling us about your organization. Bishop, you mentioned taxes done for free.
Yes.
How do you go about applying to get your taxes done for free? Who is eligible and where do they go?
Excellent. Great question. So just to follow up on that question, you can call Urban Upbound at 718-784-0877 and press the star key, and that'll take you right to our tax office that operates all year round. We have a central hub in Long Island City that operates 12 months of the year, and so folks can get their tax problems resolved all year long. But in January, when folks all over the country will be filing their taxes from January to April 15th, we will have 31 satellite sites open in the five boroughs of New York City. And folks that are closest to, when they call us, they'll tell us their address, and then our call takers will let them know what site is closest to their location. Now, that gives us a great opportunity, Greg, because, you know, people in our organization, we expect and we hope that through advertisement and word of mouth and the great work that we're doing, that other people will hear about us and come. They have to self-select. A lot of times, people are so bombarded with the vicissitudes and issues of life that they're not even thinking about how can I get out of this conundrum that I'm in. But there are two things that are certain: death and taxes.
Okay.
And so when folks come to get their taxes done, we can offer them the suite of services that we have, which is employment services, preparation for such, placement, one-on-one financial counseling, youth career pathways, academic and vocational. No young people have to be lost in our city, especially if they are in any proximity of 696 or Urban Upbound, because we have the resources. And then, of course, we own our own bank. My father told me before he died in October 2004, he said, you're never going to make sustainable change unless you own money. Own money? What are you talking about? I have a job. He said, no. You have to own money. Open your own bank.
Open your own bank.
And he said, because the theory is you don't want to wait for people. When you're creating a movement, you move. You don't wait. So we're not waiting for people to build it for us. We're going to aggregate our resources and build it ourselves. And so we have the Urban Upbound Federal Credit Union, which was the first credit union chartered under the Obama administration, the first one in Queens in 30 years, and the first one chartered in New York City in the past 10 years. And so we're proud to have done, I think, a phenomenal thing. You know, Mayor Bloomberg cut the ribbon. When we opened, you were there, Greg. The officials were there 8 years ago when we did this big ribbon cutting. And now we're funding co-op businesses, cooperative businesses, entrepreneurs that are trying to get money to get their businesses off the ground but won't get it from conventional banking systems. We have the mechanism to finance these young entrepreneurs and help them. And we've done a tremendous job with that. So any of your listeners that are listening to us, they can call the credit union. Of course, you have to be a member of the credit union in order to get money from the credit union. But I would suggest that every person listening would join this institution because we're in business to put you in business if that's what you want to do. My dad always told me, you're not going to be rich working for somebody else.
Say that.
Own your own business. And even if you are working for somebody else, you can still have another business. Mm-hmm.
That's
okay?
Right.
There are four quadrants. You're a business owner, you're an investor, you're an employee, or you're a self-employed worker. You should be in all those
multiple
quadrants, you know?
And just to add on to what the bishop is saying, we have benefited from those services. They have an office, Urban Upbound, directly across from our headquarters.
Yes.
And
yes.
So one of the first things we did when we were invited into the community was to link up with their financial literacy, and they were excellent. They came and they talked to my staff about credit. And we are sponsored by Jacob A. Riis. But we found some exceptional services, and we continue this conversation and dialogue not only with my staff but with the high-risk youth that we service. So they're very effective, and I can speak from personal experience.
Now, give me a typical interaction with your youth, the ages and what the youth learn and what did they say after they went through this course.
So we have a niche. We're very focused on what they call the highest risk or proven risk youth. And there's about seven different factors that would warrant someone to be labeled that way or called that way. And there are things like recent involvement with the criminal justice system, access to a weapon, involved in a street organization that is known to be violent, et cetera. So these are some of the factors that we actually look for when seeking out young people to work with. We call them participants. So in my staffing, I have violence interrupters. These are, I say, relatively young people that are 1 foot in the street. These are people that, 99% of my staff is formerly incarcerated. Mm-hmm. So these are people that they know what's going on in the community, in the places where we gamble, where the weed is sold, where the drug. They know all about it because that used to be their stomping grounds. And we expect them to get on the preventative side of things. They tell us, my violence interrupters, many times before things escalate, this is going to be a problem. Such and such just came home from prison and he has a vendetta. Or they'll say, the violence that just occurred, this is where it's going to spread to next. So they're very in tune with what's going on in the community. We rely on them a lot. Secondly, we have outreach workers. These are similar to violence interrupters, but they have a caseload of about 10 to 15 high-risk participants that they work with. So in addition to being in the loop, as we say, in the streets and know what's going on, they work very closely with young people who have most times been marginalized or, you know, the label that you can't work with this person or, you know, they're just unapproachable. Well, we have about 60 of those in our caseload right now that my outreach workers are working with. And when I say work with them, they go to their schools, they go to their homes, they go to their court dates. They take them out on what we call participant activities. Sometimes we're at Bishop's Church with these young people. So we work very closely with the people that most times others have run away from working with. What a typical interaction or day look like, there is no typical interaction or day with this population of young people. Our community for too long has been marginalized, has been oppressed and pushed away from opportunity. So we are right now working on what's called critical thinking and political education, which is basically getting young people, the young people I'm describing, to understand the context in which we're struggling and surviving, to give them some things that the warehouses or schools, as they're called, are not giving them. So when we interact with these young people, we see all of the blind spots, all of the oppression. It's just blatant and evident. And we've developed programming around those blind spots in those areas to build up self-esteem, to do things like the bishop said, financial literacy. What happened to economic development or entrepreneurship in our community? Where is our bean pie? What is it that the people in our community can produce and sell? What are the low-cost, no-cost business ideas that we can support? So when we come to an area like Queensbridge or others around the city, we look for leadership like Bishop Taylor. We look for people who have been there for generations doing this work well, and we align ourselves with that type of leadership because the young people respond to it.
Greg, can I say something about...
Wait, let me just give station identification.
Oh, okay.
Let people know that you're here. This Bishop Taylor from Urban Upbound and Kay Bain from 696...
Bill Queensbridge.
Yes, I'm going to get that. 696 Bill Queensbridge. Bishop?
Yeah. So, you know, I am really grateful to have an advocate like Kay Bain in our Queensbridge campus, because there are three things, at least three things, that are going on in Urban Tracks, right? And that's kind of code for Black neighborhoods, right, I guess. But you've got social justice. You got economic justice, and you got safety justice. Now, you know, the National Action Networks of the world, the Rainbow Push Coalitions of the world, they're dealing with social justice issues.
Right.
And, you know, and usually with social justice issues, there's one person that leads a group of people through a protest against whatever injustice is before us, right? And we talk about it and we kiss and we move on, and that's great. We need that. Then you have economic justice, which is something that is not really talked about because it's not something that wants to be promoted by others outside of our dynamic, right? So I'll never be, or those that are involved in this work of bringing economic justice to Urban Tracks will never be celebrated per se, okay? And so, but you need economic justice. That's what Urban Upbound is doing. We're bringing economic justice through entrepreneurship, employment, financial counseling. But what Kay Bain is doing is bringing safety justice, because guess what? If folks don't feel safe coming from their apartment to our office, they're not going to get economic justice. And what his interrupters are doing, which I think is a great idea, you know, aggregating formerly incarcerated folks, folks from the street, folks from the hood like me. I'm the preacher from the hood, okay? Mm-hmm. I'm from the street, okay? You can't give me game. I made the game, all right? But we need that. And because of that, other young people respond to them. I can't do that. But they can.
Right. Well, that's why you two are here.
Yeah.
Because I want to find out how this works and how you work together.
Oh, yeah.
Now, Brother Bain.
Yes, sir.
How many people you have working for you? How many employees?
Eight full-time, one part-time, and a host of volunteers. One thing about Queensbridge is the community is so cohesive. The community is such a strong, tight community. If you pull out a grill and say we're going to have a barbecue, you're going to have 500 people there and 40 people working the grill. So we have a very small staff, but our volunteer base is enormous.
Now the problems that we hear about in NYCHA, the front page news, the rats.
Oh, my Lord.
The lead paint. The service, does that occur in Queensbridge as well, or do you, because of the tight-knit community, do you have a better handle on that just because you have community involvement?
No, there's no bet. No. Mm-hmm. If I can answer,
please.
What you see happening at Claremont Houses in the Bronx is happening in public housing developments across the city.
Okay.
Some to larger degrees than others, but it's happening. Well, listen, I was just in a woman's apartment 2 weeks ago. Matter of fact, when the governor came, she was up. She thought the governor was going to walk through the development and talk to people, but he had to go to another appointment. And she said, I just wanted to tell the governor, you know, thank you for raising, you know, this status of our apartments by going and whatnot. And I wanted to tell him that, but he left. But would you come? I go to the woman's apartment in Queensbridge. I can't believe with all of this visibility going on, she's got a gaping hole in her ceiling.
In the ceiling, that's normal.
That has not been repaired in the bathroom and over the tub.
Right.
Where do people wash and take a shower? So,
And chances are that's the hole in somebody else's floor.
Or underneath someone's floor.
Yeah.
What's going to happen, Greg? Now, we've got rats crawling across the stove, the countertops, in the kitchen, taking over apartments. This is, public housing is the moral issue of our day. Every minister, every imam, every rabbi, every priest should decry the deplorability that we see our people living in every day.
Okay.
Absolutely in agreement. I think NYCHA is this monstrous, well-funded, I don't know what monster, but the resources do not reach the community. That's just it, point blank, period. Another reason why the bishop's approach to economic development is something that we strongly support. Because we hear about the numbers and the budgets, and the state plays this part in the city, and they do this dance and this game. At the end of the equal sign, who suffers?
The residents.
Period. And if you want to show your real concerns, you want to show what you're really prioritizing in a society, look at what you do with the lower incomes. Look what you do with the elderly, the seniors. Show me that, and you show me what you really feel and care about society, or those of us in society who are in those rings.
Show me how you treat the least of us.
Show me how you treat the least of us.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow. Wow. Mm.
Now, let me ask you, has the problem gotten worse over the last 5 years?
Yes. But can I tell you something? Remember, NYCHA is the largest affordable public housing stock, I think I can safely say, in the country.
Yes.
Right?
Yeah. Yes.
To my understanding.
When public housing began its phase of development back in the 1930s, and we continued to evolve with this flourishing stockpile of affordable housing in New York City, who was put in charge of running it? Well, when something is brand new, Greg, anybody could run it.
Okay. Yeah, there you go.
But you need housing professionals to recognize from 1939 that I need to start putting together a depreciation account for the boilers, for the roofs, for this and for that. That's how the TF Cornerstones, if I can use those names, the Tishmans, the management, the housing managers of the world today, they run their housing stocks. But we put politicians and bureaucrats over a housing stock for people that, hey, yeah, I could run it when it's shiny for the first 5 years, but what about 20 years? What about 25 years? They don't know how to deal with those critical things that arise. That's what happened to public housing. We gave our beautiful renaissance to people that were incompetent and unable to manage such a robust housing stock. And unless we figure out how to hire professionals, not bureaucrats, to lead the housing authority, we're going to continue to run this valuable resource into the ground. When I was a kid, we were $5 million in capital deficit. Now we're $35 billion. Right? Is that right?
$35 billion. That's amazing.
Well, I thank the two of you for coming on the show.
Thank you, Greg.
Thank you so much.
You got 15 seconds apiece. Last thing you want to say.
I want to say I am Bishop Mitchell G. Taylor, co-founder of Urban Upbound. I can be reached at urbanupbound.org. Please hit us on the website. My email address is there. My phone number is 718-784-0877. Please call us. We'd love to have you to be a part of
My name is Kay Bain, founder and director at 696 Build Queensbridge. Check us out at www.696buildqueensbridge.com. Peace and blessings. Thank you for having us.
You're welcome, and thank you for coming on Reaching Out. I'm Gregory Floyd, President, Local 237 Teamsters. You've been listening to Reaching Out. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thanks for listening to Reaching Out with Gregory Floyd, President of Teamsters Local 237. Join us each and every Saturday night at 7, right here on AM 970, The Answer.